Thank you, God, that you are good to us always. Thank you, Lord, like Bertie said in the beginning, the Comforter has come to us, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us, that God dwells within us, within this temple that is our body. We carry the Spirit of God, the life of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, that you explain to us who you are, that you reveal Jesus to us, Jesus who is the living Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the being of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So today, wrong button, we're going to be talking about divine simplicity. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the scripture is clearly saying that there's a simplicity in God. There's a simplicity in Jesus Christ. And often what happens in the world that we live in, that simplicity is robbed from us. And we live a life that is consumed by complications. Especially in the law, if we believe in a system of law, life is very, very complicated. You never understand who you are. You never understand how the world works. You never understand who God is. You never understand Scripture. Before I started believing the gospel that Bertie preaches, I could never understand Scripture. I read commentaries, dictionaries. I could never understand Scripture. It was always so complicated. But in God, there is a simplicity. Now, that word simplicity comes from a Greek word which means singleness, sincerity, or generosity. So the simplicity that is in God speaks of singleness, sincerity, and generosity. The word singleness means being one only, the opposite of complication or multiplicity, which means to be many. So when we deal with God, God is one. God isn't many beings, God is one. Although He is three, the three are one. It speaks of being single. It speaks of sincerity, which is not hiding under a false appearance, not self-seeking. It means purity of purpose. So when we deal with God, God is always sincere when He deals with us. God doesn't have a hidden agenda. He has no hidden agenda. He hasn't got some anger and punishment that He's hiding under the table to bring out when it pleases Him, that He's hiding from you. God has got no hidden agendas. With God, what we see with God is who He is. What you see is what you get with God. God has got no hidden agendas. God is never self-seeking. Never self-seeking. We only have to look at Jesus to see that God is never self-seeking. And God is generous, which means to give in great quantities. So when we deal with God, we deal with a being who in essence is simplicity. He is one, He is sincere, He's got no hidden agendas, He's not hiding anything from us, and He's a generous being. He gives without measure. And that is who God is, the being of God. God is simplicity. Now, the root of that Greek word simplicity comes from a Greek word which is numbered 573. In the Strong's dictionary, and that speaks of to weave three or more strands to form one. So the root of the word simplicity speaks of being woven together into one. And God is one. That reminds me of this picture. Though that is different strands that is being woven together in one. Where does it begin and where does it end? It's been woven in together. The strands that make up that piece of rope has been woven together into one. And the very foundation of divine simplicity is thus unity, to be one. God is one. If this seems very theoretical, just bear with me. We'll get to some practical applications of this a little bit later. So the very foundation of simplicity is unity, is one, being one, oneness, singleness. Now, in theology, there's a whole doctrine of divine simplicity, which says that God is without parts, God is one. It says the being of God is identical to the attributes of God. Thus, such characteristics as love, goodness, truth, eternal life, etc. are identical to God's being, not qualities that make up that being. What does this mean? When we deal with people, when we deal with persons, people have got certain characteristics. One day they might display anger, the next day they might display love. One day they might display hate, the next day they might display acceptance. But God is who He is. So the being of God doesn't display characteristics of love, goodness, truth. Because if God displayed certain characteristics, tomorrow He might be love and the next day He might be anger. What this is saying is that the character of God is the being of God. So it says that God is love. God is truth. God is goodness. God is life. God is love. So what that means is that the being of God is who He is. He is not a being who displays different characteristics that are sometimes in conflict with one another. God is love. When we come to God, we find who He is. He is love. He is goodness, He is truth, He is eternal life all the time. And thus, we can approach God without fear, because we know that with God we do not find conflicting character traits. We find a God who is one with His being, with who He is. God is comfortable, happy with who He is. God is whole. God is whole in who He is. God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need anything from us. God doesn't even need our love to be whole. He is whole. If no one ever loved God, if no person ever loved God, He would be whole. He doesn't need anything from us. And when we deal with a God who would never need anything from us, we are set free. Because we deal with a being who has set us free because He never needs anything from us to be whole. Divine simplicity, I keep on pressing the wrong button here. Divine simplicity also says God is the ultimate in being. There is no possible being that could be more or better than God is. God is the highest being. God is a being who has been from all eternity and He will be unto all eternity. How can we comprehend the existence of a being that does not have a beginning? How can we comprehend the existence of a being who was not created, who was not made, but yet this is who God is? A being who was not created. There are always many arguments for and against the existence of God. Now, people who argue against the existence of God say, how can it be that a being can exist without having been created, without having been made? But yet that is who God is, a being who has no beginning, a being who was not created by anything. Because God is the ultimate in being, He is maximal perfection and goodness. God is perfect, which means that He's perfect in His love, which means that He's perfect in His goodness. God cannot be in a different state than He is. God is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. If God is love today, He will be love tomorrow. He will be love for all eternity. Yesterday was love. 2,000 years ago, on the mountain where the law was given, God was love. He is unchangeable. When the law demanded that people be stoned to death, God was love. When Jesus hung on the cross, God was love. Unchangeable. Unchangeable goodness, perfection of being. Divine simplicity. We are dealing with a being who will never change who He is. God cannot be in conflict with who He is. God is love and God is light. It is impossible for God to be in conflict with the love that is His being. God cannot be in conflict with love to the point where He would want to destroy people. Where He would stop being good to people. It is impossible for God to be in conflict with who He is. We are dealing with a being who is pure, who is holy, who is perfect. That is the God that we know. Hebrews 11 verse 6. He that comes to God must believe that He is. He that comes to God must believe that He is. So when we come to God, what do we need to do? We need to believe that God is. That He is this being that is revealed to us. That God is not darkness. That God is not anger. That God is not destruction. That God is not someone who wants to murder and kill. So when we come to God, we come to God knowing Him as a perfect being of love, of goodness. And when we know Him in this fashion, we come to Him without fear. We come to Him with boldness, with happiness, with freedom. We approach a being who is unchangeable in His love for us. Just think of it, a being who is so much love. Bertie likes to say that God is so much that He manifests. God is so much love that it manifests. God cannot stop Himself from loving. It is impossible for God to stop loving. It's impossible for God to stop being who He is. So if we come to God, we come to a being who is so much love that it pours forth from Him to us. He that comes to God must believe that He is. If we believe that God is something other than love and goodness and perfection, the God we come to is not God. If we believe in a God who punishes the wicked, if we believe in a God who punishes the sinner, who wants to destroy a sinner, that God we find in our belief is not the true God. It is an idol created by the imaginations of men. Divine simplicity, the power of being, expression through the power of being. God is filled with so much love and goodness and perfection and holiness that it is expressed to us. It is expressed to His creation. In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was nothing. Things that we see today were created out of nothing. The only way to know and to experience God is to believe that He is. Through arguments, people will never be convinced of the existence of God. But as we believe that He is a God and that He is good and perfection, we see God. Yes, sir. We see a being who created everything out of nothing. That matter came out of nothing. Molecules, everything we see around us came out of nothing. That is because the being of God was so powerful that He created out of nothing. Some illustrations as to the power of God's being. What do you see on the screen here? This is the sun. You see the size of the sun. Here's the planet Earth. This is the largest planet, Jupiter. This is the planet Earth that we live upon. That was created out of nothing through the power of God's being. If that is the size of the Earth, where do you think we are? If we see the size of creation, we see the power of the being of God. How can it be that the sun came into existence out of nothing? Out of nothing. But yet, if we see the size of this planet called Earth, and we think of our size in creation, do we feel insignificant? No, it should not make us feel insignificant, because the being who created the sun, where is he? He lives in my body. We are not insignificant to God. This was created by Jesus, through Jesus, for us. The power of God's being. This is Antares. This is the sun. It's one pixel in size. Jupiter, which was the largest planet, on this scale, Jupiter is invisible. You cannot see Jupiter. The sun is one pixel in size. Antares, Betelgeuse, Aldebaran, some of the biggest stars in the universe. Where do they come from? Out of the being of God. Out of the being of God. And a being who is this powerful is love and goodness forever unchangeable towards His creation, towards us. Another illustration. The power of God's being, that's the size of the blue whale. In front of its nose you see the size of a man, behind it you see the size of an elephant. The power of God's being. A blue whale's tongue is the size of an adult African elephant and weighs an average of 2.7 tons. The tongue of a blue whale. If a blue whale opens its mouth, It can take into its mouth 90 tons. 90 tons. Who put a blue whale in the ocean? God. That animal was created out of nothing. Through the power of the being of God. God giving expression to the beauty that is within Him. When we see creation, we see the beauty that is in the being of God. Even something small, like a bee on a flower. That flower, that bee, finds its life through the being of God. The power of God's being. Let me give you another illustration of the power of God's being. That is the power of God's being, Jesus Christ. Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus, being a servant for all of man, is an expression of the power of the being of God. Because it is an expression unto us of the love of God. God didn't even have, when man fell into a system of sin, law, and death, there was no deliberation in heaven, God saying, How are we going to solve this problem? There was just an immediate manifestation of the love of God in proclaiming that Jesus would be born to take away the curse of the law. The manifestation of the love of God immediately saying that the only way for people to be saved is through me, through the expression of my love. Therefore, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way because he's the only way that God decided that we would be set free. He is the only way that God decided that we would be set free, that we would be taken back into the family of God. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. The truth about who God is and the truth about who we are. And Jesus is the life. Life is only found in Jesus Christ. Because as Jesus is, so are we. If I do not believe that, I am in death. Until Jesus came, no one knew what God was like, who God was. The only revelation that people had of God was in the scriptures, in the written law. People had no idea who God was. And yet today, people are still stuck in that law, in that Old Testament, thinking that God is a killer of people. Not realizing that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the being of God. A being of love and goodness, a being who serves his creation. Expression through the power of being, God is love. God is love. We only have to look at the cross of Jesus Christ to realize that God is perfect beauty, goodness, and love. Divine simplicity. Are human beings more concerned with having than being? Are human beings more concerned with having than being? Are we more concerned in having something than being something? God is. He bees. God is. Are we more concerned with having something than being something? Because the scripture we had a look at in the beginning, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. That word subtlety comes from a root word which means to toil, to labor, to work. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And we know this. Satan convinced Adam and Eve to work, to be like God. Not to rest in the being of God, but to work to be holy, to work to be blessed, to work to have eternal life. And the moment we fall into that trap, to obtain something by working for something, we lose the simplicity that is in God. We lose oneness with God. We lose understanding God, understanding who we are. The moment we step over that line, the moment we allow a little bit of yeast into our lives, we lose the simplicity of God. Are human beings more concerned with having than being? Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Some seeds fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Are human beings more concerned with having than being? To be deep is to be rooted in the being of God. To be rooted into deep earth is to be rooted in who God is, and knowing that who God is who I am, that I am created in the image of God, that God created me to pour out his being in me. That is to be deep. To be rooted in shallow soil is to be rooted in what I can have, what I can obtain, what I see manifested in my life. Even if I think that I have to have perfect health all the time, I'm rooted in shallow soil. Because perfect health says nothing about me. Whether I have cancer or not, it says nothing about me. I'm rooted in the being of God. Even if I see... whether I see the fruits of the Spirit manifesting in my life or not, it means nothing. If I'm so concerned about having stuff, if I'm so concerned about having possessions, that says to me I'm blessed, and that is just a shallow understanding of what it means that people are more concerned with having. Because people are, in a deeper way, people are concerned with seeing the being of God manifesting within them. And the moment that I start to measure myself, the moment I start to be more concerned about the fruit of God manifesting through me, I lose the happiness, the joy of being rooted in God. Because the moment I have peace and rest in resting in the being of God, just by living in simplicity, I have God manifest through me. God never measures me. God never takes me to task about something that I should have done, which I haven't done. I do not look at what I have. I do not look at what I see manifesting through me in determining who I am. I'm rooted deeply in the being of God, in a being who is stable, who is unchangeable, a being who is love and goodness and perfection. I'm rooted in that being. The seed of God has been deposited within me through the Spirit of God, and I'm rooted in God. No matter what happens in this life, I have eternal life. Because the seed, the being, the life of God is where? In my body. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. This is a person who always looks at what is happening in their lives to determine their state of blessedness, to determine their state of oneness with God. Not looking at who God is, not looking at who Jesus is, but looking at what is manifesting in my life to determine who I am. And when the sun comes up, the troubles of life comes up, if there's no deepness of root, rooted in the being of God, that plant will die. And people stop believing in God. If something bad happens to me, does that change who God is? It never changes who God is. If something bad happens to me, God is still love. If my loved one dies tomorrow, in some accident, God is still love. God is still goodness. God is still perfection. This life can never determine me. Divine simplicity, we go back to the root of simplicity, which talks of being one. Being one. Oneness, singleness. John 17. Jesus speaking, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, one with God. That is what we are, what we were created to be. God is one in himself, encompassing his being, encompassing who he is. And in that being, we were created to be contained in that being of God, entwined into the being of God. That is what we were created to be one with God. God in us and we in God. God in us and we in God. Jesus in us and we in Jesus. One with God. When I saw this picture yesterday, you know what immediately sprung to my mind? Can you see that? It's a bit dark. Do you know what this is? It's DNA. Okay? It's your DNA. What does the DNA of a person look like? It's like something that's been entwined. It almost looks like that rope. So the very design of people is to be entwined with God. Your very DNA speaks of being one with God. The power of God's being one with us. If you strip us down to our very DNA, it speaks of being entwined with God. That's what it is. We're almost done. It's a DNA in the bottom there. the power of God's being, the impact upon people. So, when people believe that God is, that He is good, that He is love, that He is perfection, that He is unchangeable, that He will always accept me, as we believe that that is who God is, we find that we become one with God. And when we become one with God, there is an impact upon our lives. There's a very good example in Scripture of the impact of being one with God upon the lives of people. Where is that? Who is that? Acts 8 verse 1. And Saul approved of his Stephen's execution. 8 verse 3. Acts 8 verse 3. Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Acts 9 verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. This is Saul murdering the disciples of God, imprisoning people, men and women, committing them to prison. What happens with this Saul? 1 Corinthians 16:24. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Is this the same person? No, it's not. Physically it's the same person, but it's not the same being. What happened to Paul? It's more than just a mere conversion and a realization that Jesus is the Christ. Yeah. It is the love of God. Yeah. Because Paul says the love of God compels me. So here was a man who committed murder, who cast people into prison, and he had an encounter with who? With the being who created the universe. A being who is love, goodness, perfection. And as he believed in who this being was, this being joined in unity with him, and the simplicity of who this being is started manifesting through Paul. So here was Paul sitting alone in isolation, and God began revealing the gospel to him. And all of a sudden the love of God started compelling this man to preach this gospel that he knew to people. Why is that? Because he had some command from God to go and do it? No, because the love of God compelled him to do it. It would have been impossible for Paul not to do it. Because the love of the divine being started manifesting through him to the point where he went, where he suffered persecution, where he was cast in a prison, where he was flogged, where he was stoned. But yet he kept on. Why did he keep on? Because of the love of God. The love of the divine being, the simplicity of God, compelling him out of love to keep on preaching to those who are lost. An encounter, a unity with the divine being, with divine simplicity. And this is what happens to us as we come to know the true God, as we come to know who God truly is, we are transformed. Amen. We close with this, divine simplicity. God is love. God is love. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are love. That you are love. God is love. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of living in unity with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can understand who you are, that we can understand who we are, that we can understand what is happening around us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love your people, that you have blessed them, that they carry the seed of indestructible eternal life within their bodies. Thank you, Lord, that they can rest in the being of God. Thank you, Lord, that there is no pressure upon them to perform, to measure up to some standard. Thank you, Lord, that we can live simple lives, being one with the Creator of the universe. Thank you, Lord. Amen.